This morning's first reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it on page 119 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. Hear this story. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The eunuch replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from the first letter of John. If you'd like to follow along, it begins on page 226 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Hear now the words of John. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed that love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson today is the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, page 103 in the New Testament, if you'd like to follow along. This is Jesus speaking, revealing to us a beautiful metaphor. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Knowing that today was going to be Mother's Day, as I was reading through these scripture lessons this week, it got me thinking about my own mom. And that last reading from the Gospel, according to John, got me thinking about plants. And therefore, I want to tell you a story about my mom and plants and our combined love for plants. Because it turns out that when I was probably about in junior high school, I discovered that I really enjoyed green things and growing things. Little did I know at the time that I was to become a park ranger, but I really liked plants. And so did my mom. In fact, I can remember one time when we were at a plant sale, and she found this gigundous jade plant. It was probably 2 feet tall. So she bought it, and that became our plant, and we cared for it together. Well, I was really interested in science at the time, and so I had this fascination with germination, how seeds could sprout and grow. And so I did all sorts of experiments. I sprouted everything I could find. And I started with the easy stuff, with corn and with grasses and with beans. And then I got a little more adventuresome. And I remember a instant coffee company offered a coffee plant that I sent away for and grew that. And then I tried to grow plants from avocado seeds to have them root and grow up. And I also tried, it shouldn't have been difficult, but it was, to germinate pine seeds from a pine cone and have those grow up. Well, I think my most joy, the most fun that I had because I got to work with my mom was when she offered me cuttings from some of her favorite plants. She really liked coleus, so I had many coleus plants. But her favorite, her very favorite plant, you may know, it was a golden pothos. You've seen the heart-shaped leaves and they're variegated. Well, my mom gave me a cutting off of that, and I dutifully took it and put it in a jar of water. And then over what seemed like weeks, that cutting grew a huge web of roots, and then I planted it into soil. And it started to grow on its own in soil. Well, as a lot of kids about that age, I decided I needed to take this to the extreme. So as soon as it would grow up, I would make another cutting and root it and plant it again. And so I had golden pothos plants all over my room. And I wanted to see how far you could actually grow one of these vines. And so I had it in a pot by my desk, and it went up and around the windows in my room and all across my room. So this was all sorts of fun. And then I realized there was even more joy to be found when I could grow these plants and then give cuttings away to other people, other friends of our families, so that they could enjoy the plants as well. Well, on this Mother's Day, I have only memories of my mom.
She passed away several years ago. But I share a recollection of so many good times we had together. And I recognize that I am who I am in large part because of who she was. She was my spiritual mentor. She taught me about religion. And she was the best role model I could ever find of how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so on this Mother's Day, I ask you to think about your mom and your family. I want you to think about your connection to God and the way you follow Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about the metaphor that Jesus uses for Himself in the Gospel according to John. And out of all that, I have three ideas to put into your brain to allow it to percolate. The first one. We all belong to our roots. Think about your family. Think about your mother, your father, your parents, your brothers and sisters. These are our biological roots. And we are who we are in large part because of who they were and who they continue to be. But we also, I recognize that I am part of that true vine of Jesus Christ. And I start to think about that beautiful metaphor of making cuttings and offering plants to people, and the way that Jesus in His lifetime and even now offers people the opportunity to grow and become new communities of faith. You get to the recognition of a very simple but profound truth, which is all of us on this planet, are brothers and sisters together because of the simple fact that we are together human beings. We are children of God, and we have the opportunity to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And one of the most profound things is to recognize that every day, each of us has the opportunity to remind other people of their true roots in God's kingdom. A second idea for you. Each of us is connected to God to the extent that we recognize and honor our connection with each other. That long, convoluted reading that Ken read from 1 John about abiding in love and knowing and seeing boils down to an explanation of this, and that is, if we love our brothers and sisters and show them in real and concrete ways, that is the measure of how connected we are to God. It's that simple. And finally, I want you to think about one more thing. We are known by and judged by our fruit. If you had a vine that has deep roots that goes out to bring in water, a vine that is well pruned, that is well fertilized, it will produce good fruit. And certainly if you look at the front of the bulletin, that's a great vine, because that was the vine that most people of the first century knew. That was the most familiar plant, guaranteed. And if we think about our roots and recognize that we are all children of God, we see that we are the fruit of our own biological families. That our mothers, our fathers, our brothers and sisters have made us who we are. Our roots go deep. If you're a mother or father in here this morning, you recognize assuredly that your children are the fruit of your lives. But we need to think about what we will leave behind, our progeny, after we're gone. I think about that idea of making a cutting and letting it root and having it move off. That's what happened to me as I left my mom. I became a new family, rooted somewhere else, but growing in a different place, as many of you did as you left your folks. But from the spiritual side, we also need to think about what we will leave behind, the fruit of our ministry, the fruit of our mission work in this world. Because God has called us to be missionary people. We are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We're called to go out beyond these walls to share God's love, to share the good news in real and tangible ways. This is the measure of our fruit. Let that roll around in your head today as you think about Mother's Day and your own families. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask that Your blessings flow upon us, that we may be provided goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. On this special Sunday, honor your mother. Serve the vine grower, God Almighty, and follow the true vine, Jesus Christ, that we may all at one time become fruit-bearing disciples. Amen.